Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie on a really aggravating now Monday afternoon, 94 WIP, when we saw the Eagles blow a game yesterday. And in blowing a game for a couple of very specific reasons, they may have blown the season with regard to playoff possibilities. It's not over yet. They still actually are in the fight. But the reality is, when all is said and done, that loss probably will have cost them a playoff spot. And we'll pose that Twitter poll question of the day to you right now. Brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question: will yesterday's loss cost the Eagles a playoff spot? A yes, B no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And, you know, one of the things is they're just playing the wrong players. And they had improved on a lot of this, but they hadn't cleaned it all up. They keep playing Reger. They keep playing Reger. They keep playing Reger. Well, tremendous question today from Angela. Just tremendous. To head coach Nick Sirianni when he was on with Angelo earlier this morning about playing Reger. Listen to this question. Listen to Sirianni's answer. Ask yourself as you listen to this, is Nick Sirianni really telling the truth with this answer? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I think not. Here's the head coach Nick Sirianni with Angelo this morning.
There is a perception in this city that Reger is getting all these opportunities because he's the number one draft pick. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. On this show, like, hey, we're gonna play the best players in every scenario. And again, sometimes the ball goes to that player based off the look that you're getting. But you're doing what you're doing to put your team in the best position to win. I get paid to win games and period. And it's all I've ever had is support from everybody in this building. And do what you got to do to win football games. And you're the expert in the scheming. You're the expert in football. All right, do what you got to do to win football games. And that's always been my message. That's always been the message to me from everybody in this building. I have nothing but support from them, and that's how it is.
Sirianni this morning. By the way, that full interview coming up at 12:20 was a great interview. Covered a lot of ground. Full interview 12:20 today. John, he said, we're going to play the best player in every scenario. I don't believe he's telling the truth.
No.
Simple as that. And it's not to say the other guys are great. I used the example earlier, the Phillies should have benched David Bell and put Polanco at third and played Chase Utley. Chase Utley had signs of being a great player, and of course he turned into a truly great player. I'm not saying that's here, but I do know this. I saw Greg Ward play for a couple years. I am certain he would be better than Jalen Reger. I think Kenny Gainwell would be better than Jalen Reger. I know there are guys out there, free agents, practice squad kind of guys. I know there are guys out there that can be better than Jalen Reagor. I know it. I don't have to know their names. I just have enough common sense to know there are people not on active rosters that you could pluck from another team. I know it. They would be better than Jalen Reagor, but they're wasting time.
Or at least that are putting forth more effort. The effort that Reagor put into those final routes was shockingly poor.
John showed me in the commercial break the plays he was talking about. He's 100% right. Jalen Reagor is jogging. He's jogging.
Yeah.
He's jogging. And by the way,
with the game and the balance,
that's a bigger reason to cut him than dropping the ball. I want to be really clear about that. I would have no problem if the Eagles cut him.
It's just lackadaisical.
It's everything that signifies, which is a player that doesn't care enough.
Yeah.
And he's also just not, it doesn't actually have the explosion and all that stuff. That's a whole nother matter. And his hands aren't good, and that's a whole nother matter. But when you got a player jogging, again, you're one of the head coach. Let's remember, you're one of the coach. This is the head coach lay the law down time. Is the law being laid down? When you not only don't cut the player, you not only don't bench the player, but you keep starting the player.
And you target the player 7 times.
Yeah. Now, some
you
of that's...
You target the player as many times. And some of that
is scramble mode.
The way that it looked to Jalen. And it's a shame that it looked that way to Jalen.
Yeah.
Because when Dallas Goedert and you know our best receiver combined for the number of targets that Jalen Reagor got, that's just a shame.
All right, to the phones we go again. The Sirianni and Angelo full interview from this morning. And, man, Angelo was on fire with the questions. Full interview coming up at 12:20. Let's go to Rasheem right now in North Philly. Rasheem, you're on WIP. Rasheem not there. We go to Justin. Justin, you're on WIP.
Joe, how are you doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, sorry, I'm on outside. Hopefully you don't get a lot of ambient noise.
No problem. Go ahead.
Quick question for you, Joe. Mm-hmm. And John, hope you're doing good too, man. I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Yeah, hey, Justin.
Who's doing the public relations? These guys get prepped before interviews, right? Before the media comes in, don't they get prepped about things?
Yeah, I don't know how much they do that post game. I really don't know. Obviously, if they do it post game, it's got to be a pretty quick session. But for the Monday press conferences, certainly that is something that is pretty standard fare. That the head coach would be prepped on the type of questions that could come.
Okay, I was talking about players, so maybe I'm just completely
players.
Off
players,
so,
it's almost impossible. You can't post game. You can't individually prep them. It's just too many guys. You just don't have time.
Okay, I got a phrase that Jalen Reagor's going to want to remember because this worked for Todd Pinkston years ago.
Yep.
I lost it in the light. Yep. Okay, just keep using that, dude, because you suck at football. You know, you got to use something that's gonna you know, save the Wolves away. You know,
Justin,
you
what about if you said the dog ate my homework? Maybe that one.
That would be more believable than I dropped it. You know, we know you dropped it. We don't care about that. We care about, you know, what are you going to do to get better? I'm tired of hearing the explosive stuff.
Yeah.
Like everybody else, you know, he fails the eye test. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. Water under the bridge at this point. But, Joe, I was going to call you to the carpet on one thing, man.
What?
You know, you said Andy cut Finnernan years ago.
Yep.
Andy had a bunch of players that sucked, and he kept them along for years. Reno Mahe, Chad Hall.
Chad Hall, yes. Chad Hall should not have been on the team in any active games. That was a mistake by Andy. I don't agree with you on Reno. Look, Reno didn't get many chances from scrimmage, nor did he deserve them. Reno was a special teams player. And Reno was a fine. Hey, Justin, let me tell you something you might not know. And I still think it's incredible, and it doesn't make any sense. There was a year Reno Mahe led the NFL in punt return average. I don't know how it happened because he wasn't that good a punt returner, but one year he actually led the NFL in punt return yards. Not yards, yards per attempt. Chad Hall never should have gotten as many opportunities as he got. But again, remember what I was talking about earlier, year one Andy. See, Reno wasn't year one. Chad Hall was like year 10, whatever year that nonsense was going on. I've talked to enough guys that were on that team, that Andy team 99 that became our guys, that they've been very clear with me, and they've said it very publicly many times, that Andy was a huge disciplinarian in the beginning. He laid the law down, and it set a tempo. And I just don't feel Nick Sirianni is setting the right tempo, laying the law down. Now, he's laid it down a little bit at times. He benched Miles Sanders yesterday. He benched him in the second half. But too often, it's too little, too late. Let's go to Joe in Yardley. Joe, you're on WIP. Joseph.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
How are you? Well, never mind. I know how you are.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to throw in a couple of extra dark clouds on this overcast day.
Okay.
I just, last week I was very optimistic. I thought, wow, they've been playing really well. They're going to the run game. And they got a chance to maybe win out. I just think they just gave a blueprint to all the other teams in the NFC East and the Jets to lose out.
See, I disagree entirely, Joe. I really do. First off, they're not going to lose out. Second off, they didn't give – to me, there's no blueprint to the other teams. It's a blueprint to the Eagles' own team. Just run the ball, commit to it, and you have a great shot to win. Don't be dumb, and you'll probably lose.
Okay,
it's really, really simple.
But your blueprint works only if they're
my
ahead.
My blueprint for the other team would be stop their run and confuse the hell out of.
But the Giants, but the Giants didn't stop the run, Joe. That's what I'm getting at. The Eagles chose not to run it for the first 20 minutes of the game. That's not that the Giants stopped it. The Eagles chose not to run it. When the Eagles chose to run it, they ran it incredibly effectively.
Okay, my other factor in that would be double team Devontae Smith and make them throw to the other receivers on the team because they're subpar.
Well, that goes on all the time, and that's why the Eagles choose.
Yeah.
That's
that will be the plan. Yeah.
But they did not double team Devontae Smith. They, and I apologize to him for mixing up those names. That's criminal.
That's good.
But you know, it's just stunning to me. And the other thing that I found that Sirianni did not do, he did not prepare his team. Just going into Giant Stadium, they have a motivation by retiring Strahan's jersey. And the defense is thinking, I got to play up to what this guy did for his career. And I didn't think the Eagles were up to it. I didn't think they were prepared for that. And I think they got outsmarted, outcoached, outmotivated
game. Honestly, I think you're overcomplicating it. I really do. I appreciate the call. I don't think it has anything to do with Strahan's retirement or any of that stuff, the retired jersey. I just think the head coach coached in the beginning of the game with his head up his hiney, choosing not to run it. And by the time he got to it, they had wasted so much time. And then coupled with the quarterback playing a bad game and the receiver dropping two passes.
I think they tried to get too cute. They thought maybe Jalen was better than what he is, more advanced as a passer. And the point is, when we were best, we were running the ball two-thirds of the time. I mean, that's a crazy ratio, but that's what we should continue
do. You know when they were at their best yesterday, John? When they ran it 100% of the time.
I know.
For, what was it, 13 straight plays?
Yes. I agree with you. It was 9 on that series and then 4 more right after, and then we threw our way right to the sideline. But we gained 6.3 yards per rushing play yesterday.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
We ran it 51% of the time. Yeah. That's just not enough for this group. The problem is, with our current setup, when the defense gets to dictate to us whether we run or pass, you're going to see more of the same. You're going to see the defense telling Jalen to pass.
James,
you got to reconfigure things a little bit offensively.
You got some info in there, James?
Yeah, let's throw some more bad news on the bad news pile of today. John Heyman tweeting out, Max Scherzer and the Mets are finalizing a $130 million 3-year deal. Minor details to go.
Well, that's just brutal. I mean, actually, honestly, that's probably breaking news worthy. So I'll say breaking news on 94WIP, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. That is a disaster. That is a disaster. Remember when I was telling
He'll be the highest per year. I mean,
well, that's a whopper. $43 million
That'd be a year. That's
for sure.
Wow.
And it makes sense for a player his age. I mean, you know,
Steve Cohen out there spending money.
Yeah.
John Middleton, where you at, pal?
And the Mets already
signed Starlin Marte, and they signed Mark Cannon, and they signed Eduardo Escobar. Yeah, they've been out making moves.
You know what they're also doing? They're doing it before the shutdown happens.
Yeah, which is smart.
It is smart.
Yeah,
it is smart.
Yeah, John Middleton just sitting on his. You know what?
Yeah, what moves did we make?
None. Zero moves. We've made no
dude,
moves.
That is a lot of bad news on top of an Eagles game.
I know, man.
Remember that whole thing about how it was right for the taking for the Phils make the playoffs last year, whatever year you call that, 2021? Holy hell. Coming up, Sirianni with Angelo, that interview in its entirety. It's a great interview. You'll hear that next. And, of course, we'll rock all the calls. Man, that's a lot of bad news. Chiota Cameron, John Ritchie. on 94 WIP.
One of the things I love most about my Park Sportsbook app is that it's not just about picking which team wins when you place your bets. They offer lots of action and so many different ways to bet on individual player performances. It just makes watching the games that much more exciting. In football, bet on passing and rushing yards, who scores touchdowns. In hoops, bet points, rebounds, assists. In hockey, bet on goal scorers and player points. Plus, with live in-game betting and the ultra-popular same-game parlays, the Park Sportsbook app is custom-made for you. And that's why it's the only sportsbook app I recommend. Sign up now, make your first bet risk-free on your favorite player or a player you're watching, or just bet on any game. Download the app and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use my promo code JRWIP. Then check out the pro football game tonight. Our rival Washington hosts Seattle, and Washington's playing the better football right now. Inexplicably to me, they're actually getting a point tonight. I'll take Washington. The over-under's a too low 47 points. Also, your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the terms and conditions. Do it now. Bet with the best. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in PA. The Park Sportsbook app.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It was just a really brutal Monday. Because there are losses, and they're going to happen. But then there are losses that happen for really terrible reasons, which this one was. And then there are losses when you know as they happen, as soon as it's over, you say, that probably just cost the Eagles a playoff spot. And it probably did. It's not over. Season's not over. They're actually a big favorite. They're a 7.5-point favorite against the Jets. There are still a bunch of winnable games up ahead. And the Eagles are still going to probably rattle off a couple more wins here. But when all is said and done, I think history will show that it is likely that that loss yesterday cost them a playoff spot. And it didn't have to happen. They should have won the game. That's certainly the backdrop as we enter into a conversation from earlier today here on WIP of Angelo with Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, of course, every Monday with Angelo on the show. And we're always all ears for, well, let's hear how Sirianni addresses the questions we want to hear asked. And boy, oh boy, did Angelo ask the questions we wanted to hear asked today. On point. Let's listen to it. Sirianni and Angelo, then we'll react together.
This is the head coach of Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angelo.
Nick, we are beyond incensed in the city, just so you know. You've had a chance to look at the tape now. In retrospect, how do you feel you did with your play calling yesterday?
Yeah, anytime you score 7 points and turn the ball over four times, you don't feel good about it. And that loss is on all of us, and it starts with me. So don't feel good about the play calling because we didn't score enough points to win. Defense did a lot of good things in that game, and we didn't hold our end of the deal up on offense.
All right. Rager became a featured receiver, especially in the key series at the end. Why him?
In that last series right there, they were doing a couple different things. The last play of the game is a scramble. A scramble play can go to anybody, as we all know that. And then the play that with the go ball right there, guys, when we get an opportunity in a 2-minute drill. So anytime you're in a 2-minute drill and you get a press man opportunity on a go ball, you take it because that's a way to create an explosive play. Right there. So we've taught our quarterback that. So the play call was not for Jalen, but the defensive look that the team gave us an opportunity to end the game with that play. So we teach our quarterback anytime you get press man-to-man go, we take an opportunity at that in a 2-minute drill because good things can happen from it. Now, in that particular case, it didn't. It didn't work. And so that's what we teach our guys. That's kind of what happened in a couple games that were played this weekend as well, both college and pro. But, you know, it didn't work out for us. So, obviously, you always want that back when it doesn't work out.
Nick, you're saying neither of those last two plays, the drops right near the end zone, were necessarily calls for Rager. Is that what you're saying for us?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Now that you've looked at it, I know you were talking after the game. Should Rager have caught both of those balls?
You know, obviously he's going to want those plays back, and you know we want those plays back for him. And so of course, like you guys saw the tape, we saw the tape. He expects to make those plays. We expect him to make those plays, but it never comes down to just one play. You know, there was a lot of plays. You know, we all had our hand in that one, right? And so there was the play calling, the turnovers, the drop at the end. I mean, it's just, you know, when it happens at the end, I know what it can seem like, and that it's all on that guy, but it's on all of us. And it starts with me as the head coach.
Nick, I've heard that a lot in my life. It never comes down to one play, and I understand exactly what you're saying. There's a lot of mistakes in the course of a game. But if Rager catches either of those balls, you win the game, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that's the way it would go. Yeah, right?
We were down by six.
Yeah. We were down by six. He catches it, and we win. But, again, I've been taught that in my life in football for the longest time, like, because we didn't have to put ourselves in that position. And so I'm never going to put the blame on one person except it being myself.
All right, Nick, even though it didn't necessarily result in all of your play calls, you ended up with 7 targets for Jalen Rager, who, in our estimation over 2 years, has been a huge disappointment. And 7 targets to your 2 best receivers, Goddard and Smith. That doesn't make sense to us. Does it make sense to you?
Again, different things happen in the game that dictate where the ball goes. We have to do our job as coaches to try to put our guys in position to make plays. But you got to understand this too, that the other team is doing things to take your best players away from the game. You know, when we talk about our game plan going into that, like how do we control Williams on the other side? Like, so we're going to do some things to take their best players out of the game, and they're going to try to do some things to take our best players out of the game. Like I said, the last 2 targets were obviously a little bit different, you know, but it's our job to figure it out and figure out how we get the ball to our main guys. But you're teaching the quarterback different types of progressions. And, you know, you don't want them to force feed something that's not there, because what's going to happen, you know, bad things are going to happen when they do that. So we have to put our guys in positions to succeed, but we also have to trust our quarterback to throw the ball where it's supposed to go versus different coverages.
Sure. Now, Nick, there's one thing, though, about the Giants defense dictating the different things you called. 2 weeks ago, you faced the best run defense in football. And you didn't care what they were doing. You shoved it down their throats for 4 quarters. Why didn't you play to your own team's strengths rather than to your weaknesses because of what the defense was doing?
Yeah, that's fair. I still think we ran the ball really well. Again,
yeah,
rushed for over 200 yards. That's hard to do in this league. There's a couple strings that you want back where you're like, well, I should have just kept with the run on that particular drive. You know, but again, you get yourself in different scenarios and different things happen. But to run for over 200 yards again, you know, that showed the strength. I thought our offensive line really played a really outstanding game throughout that game.
Absolutely, Nick. And that's why we were screaming for it. There were several sequences where you went to the pass again, ended up with 2nd and long, 3rd and long, and had to keep passing the ball. Just last week, you went to Jordan Howard 5 straight times, went right down the field. Why did you abandon it yesterday?
Well, there's some things that what's happening during the game of how the linebackers are feeling, and what's going on there, and that you want to call a play action pass to get a big chunk, and we've done that in the past too. But in the past, the play has worked. Yesterday, a couple of the passes that we called didn't work. So, you know, again, it's very easy to second guess the next day, and I do it too. You know, I go through it. I go through all the play calls myself and say, I shouldn't have done that there. Again, we're calling a play in a scenario that we think is going to work, obviously, at that time, based off of what the defense is doing. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And yesterday it didn't, and so I got to look myself in the mirror first.
Well, Nick, as much heat as you're taking, Jalen Hurts is actually getting more today. He's been terrific with the ball, not giving it up. 3 big interceptions yesterday. What happened? What was different?
Yeah, we were careless with the football yesterday, and that was uncharacteristic, as you said, Angelo, of how Jalen's been playing. And so, you know, in those scenarios, like in these tight division games, you can't lose the turnover battle 4-0 and expect to win. And, you know, it was uncharacteristic of a couple things that we forced
in there. And again, it's never just on one guy's one play or one decision. Obviously, we're going to get in here today, and we're gonna fix the mistakes and get better from this.
All right. Now, you had two holding calls against Nate Herbig, who came in for Kelce. What do you do about that, Nick? Is that you sit him down and show him how you can't grab the guy and pull him the way you did on those plays? You lost a TD on that.
Yeah, you go through the technique just like you do in everything. Yeah. I think the worst coaching points that I've ever heard a coach give is, hey, don't hold, or hey, catch the ball. You go through the coaching point based off of what happened. Hey, what happened on this play? What technique can we fix right here so you don't put yourself in that position again? And so, you know, on the one touchdown run, it's going to be, hey, get your hands inside. Don't retract to pull back and get the holding penalty. And so you just that's what you do as coaches. You go to the why of why it happened, not what happened, but why it happened, and you try to correct that. Now Nate has done a good job all year of stepping in and playing good football when called upon. That's, you know, that's his job as a backup, to be able to step in when somebody goes down. I think for the most part he's done a good job all year. Is he going to want those couple plays back? Of course. But we were able to still do the things we wanted to do, running the football with Nate in the game. So when you have two penalties, you're always going to say you didn't play as good as you could. But for the most part, Nate did play a good game besides those two plays. But those two plays count. I get it. And so we'll do what we got to do to fix that.
Nick, last thing. You're not getting very much from Rager on the kick returns or the punt returns. He's ranked 133rd in the league among wide receivers. There is a perception in this city that Rager is getting all these opportunities because he's the number one draft pick. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before on this show. Like, hey, we're gonna play the best players in every scenario. And again, sometimes the ball goes to that player based off the look that you're getting. But you're doing what you're doing to put your team in the best position to win. I get paid to win games and period. And it's all I've ever had is support from everybody in this building, and do what you got to do to win football games. And you're the expert in the scheming. You're the expert in football. All right, do what you got to do to win football games. And that's always been my message, or that's always been the message to me from everybody in this building. I have nothing but support from them. And that's how it is.
Hey, Nick, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Angelo.
All right, that's Nick Sirianni this morning with Angelo. You know, there's a lot to digest from all that. I'll just say this. I'll go back to something I said earlier in the show. I actually believe that most Eagles yesterday did a great job. Did a great job. Defense did a great job. The offensive line, except for the two Herbig penalties, did a great job. This game was lost, and it didn't need to be lost, because of a couple of individuals. Hurts, horrible. Rager, horrible. Sirianni having no runs in the beginning of the game, horrible. And because of that, they lost the game. And because of that, they're probably going to miss the playoffs. That's why I'm in such a foul mood. It didn't have to happen. I mean, this was totally within their control. And unlike the other games that they lost earlier this year, that, yeah, maybe they could have won, but didn't necessarily, you can say, they should have won. You can't say they should have beaten the Chargers. They should have beat the Giants yesterday.
I wish, and they
blew it.
I wish Nick Sirianni were asked, do you now know that Jalen Rager should not be in that position? You know, Nick Sirianni goes and tells us, hey, the Giants did a good job. Just like we try to take away their best players, they did a good job taking away our best players. And they did. They did a nice job covering Dallas Goedert. They did a nice job for the most part on Devontae Smith. But this other player was out there. And you're saying the way the play ended up, you know, playing out, it had to go to him. Well, did you learn yesterday that he can't be the guy that it goes to?
And
did you learn that that needs to be, I don't know, Kenny G or Greg Ward or just anyone else other than Jalen Rager? Because I think I learned that.
Well, especially, and here again, this is, I keep coming back to this, but I think it's such a central theme to why they lost yesterday. Because they had made such progress in recent weeks choosing to play the right players instead of the wrong players. TJ Edwards, you're in. Singleton, and unless Davion Taylor's injured, you're out. Singleton actually did a better job yesterday. Davion Taylor had been in there. Boston Scott had zero carries in the first whatever it was, 6 or 7 weeks, other than fourth quarter garbage time carries. One game. He had zero carries.
Yeah.
He got a chance. They succeeded. Jordan Howard had had zero carries. He got a chance. They succeeded. There were some very clear adjustments that were made that resulted in the Eagles being a better team. And yesterday, some of it they reverted back on. Some of it, John, they didn't hear what you and I had been saying. Don't play Rager. Play Ward or Gainwell. Mm-hmm. It's really not that complicated.
Well, man, yesterday was decisive in answering this question, if it was even a question to this coaching staff. And I guess this Jets game will tell us a lot. If Rager is out there, if Rager is given the opportunities that he was given yesterday, to where I know that you don't draw a play up so that it's just, you know, to this guy. You've got several guys running routes. But when the defense takes our best options away, our third best option can no longer be Jalen Rager. And I want to hear something to that effect.
I agree. Well, look, maybe, and of course, John and Ike will carry the Sirianni press conference later today. Maybe that'll be posed to Sirianni. I mean, there are moments in a season where a head coach around the league or here will be asked, is such and such still your starting quarterback? And you know when that moment is asked, when the question is asked, it's like, all right, well, coach has to answer. It's become a thing. That's the type of question that should be asked to Sirianni about Rager. Is Jalen Rager still starting?
Right.
And if so, why exactly?
Yeah, well, he keeps saying it all starts with him. It always comes back to, it all starts with me, both sides of the ball. Well, okay, then if that's the case, then you need to make this change. You absolutely need to make this change. It was crystal clear to everyone what needs to be done. Now let's see if you do it.
And they wasted time. And in the process, they might have wasted the whole season with that yesterday. Mark in Northeast Philly. Mark, you're on WIP.
Joe, John.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Sorry we're speaking under these circumstances. So I want to kick this off real quick with the best thing that I saw this weekend among all this negativity. Shout out Joel Embiid. 42 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 52% from the field, and 45 minutes after being out for 3 weeks. So good job by him.
Man, he was gassed.
Incredible.
Too.
Yeah, and how about Embiid saying it was so rough that he didn't know if he was going to make it? I mean, that at least people have really struggled with, not everyone. Some people get through the illness and they can be completely fine, but he obviously really got hit with a hard bout of it, and so thank God he came through it.
Yeah, he's a dog, man. So, hey, so I have my Eagles comments real quick, and there is a question at the end of this for John. So, John, actually, everything I'm going to say here is what I'm looking for, like a really good answer in your experience in the NFL. So, Greg Ward drops touchdown when it counts. Boston Scott fumbles when it counts. Bad quarterback play when it counts. Dallas Goedert disappears when it counts. Bad coaching when it counts. Jalen Rager drops a dime for the win when it counts. 15-play drive, 92 yards, 0 points when it counts. Get away from the run and throw it 31 times when it counts. 4 turnovers, all against the worst team in your division. And I want to sum that up real quick and take a shot at Coach here. Last week, what did Coach say? We aren't a run team. We aren't a pass team. We're nasty. That's our identity. We're nasty. Well, Coach, that was nasty yesterday. Yeah. So my question to you, John, is, why is it that there are teams every year that are either head and shoulders above or just playing better that put these performances out against lesser teams either in the middle of a playoff run or just at some point during the season? Can you feel it coming as a player? Is there like a cloud over the week in the back of your mind like, man, we got to get this one? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? I can't figure it out. And it was so bad yesterday. I mean –
Well, you could see
it was bad.
There were signs. I mean, there were people who were saying last week, hey, this change where they fired Jason Garrett, sometimes that does have an effect where guys will play harder, where teams will have different looks that they put out
there. But that's
not
what won the Giants the game. See,
no, what won the Giants the game is they did a good job on
defense.
Nah,
that's not what won
we
the Giants.
We did a bad
job. Yeah, what won the Giants
offense.
The game is the Eagles blow it. Honestly, that's what won the Giants the game. The
but
Eagles
you
blew
can't
it.
You can't take it all away from the Giants.
I do.
We were awful on offense, just flat out awful.
But not when they ran it. That's the, they.
Well,
to
and,
me,
and it's awful that we averaged 6.3 yards per carry,
right.
Yet we didn't run it enough.
Yeah,
I think part of it is we were smelling ourselves. We were reading our own press clippings to some degree, and we thought that we could ask Jalen Hurts to do more than he's ready to do. I think that's the biggest problem. But can you sense these things coming on? Yeah, you can. Yes, there are always circumstances during the week that do have an effect on the outcome of games.
Let's go to Jimmy in New Jersey. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, fellas. Normally, I wish you guys a good day, but after yesterday's debacle, I think y'all ought to wish you God's own peace because they really stunk up the joint.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
What really irks me the most is that this is the second game in, 4 weeks that we knew Dallas lost going into the game, and we came up stinkingly short.
Yep. Listen, and, the door was open, Jimmy. I mean, believe me, I did not think 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I knew the Eagles had a shot at the wild card. That was obvious. But I did not think 2 weeks ago the Eagles were going to have a legitimate shot at the division. But, you know, with Dallas losing on Thanksgiving, that really came into focus. And the Eagles just gave it all back. They just gave it all back.
Absolutely.
And now, Jimmy, now we got to root for Dallas Thursday night against the Saints, which stinks. Now we got to root for Dallas because it's more important for the Eagles that the Saints lose than Dallas loses.
Well, God forbid I root for Dallas ever. I'm just going to have to take a bye on that one. But
take a bath. Take a bath instead of taking a bye. How about that?
Hey, guess what? You said you on an earlier spot, you took two of them earlier, and bet you still couldn't wash the stink off of that game, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I took one before the game and one after the game, and it did not improve my mood.
Well, you were spot on with your triad of guys to blame. I think Sirianni belongs at the top of the list for reverting back to the offense that he was trying to run the first 7 unsuccessful weeks of the season. And I think Johnny is spot on. I think Rager is a complete waste of a roster spot. I'd rather have a walk-on.
Yeah. No, the worst part about it is it didn't look like the effort was there at times. That's really tough for me to get over. And with regard to Sirianni, I don't think anyone's brought this up. 9 snaps under center. I went back through and I counted up every other play. How many plays? 60, whatever it was. 9 snaps under center. That really does limit the offense. And when we were playing our best football, you know, running the heck out of it, we were under center a lot more than that.
Yep, 67 snaps yesterday.
Yeah,
so
9
it's
under center.
And, you know, I know Miles Sanders, Sean, had some nice runs. I know he did. But
I was troubled by the fact that he came out after the half, had a nice big run, and just went off to the sideline and wasn't hurt badly enough to stay out of the game, you know, wanted to go back in, I guess. Well, I don't know that. I'm making an assumption. I shouldn't. It bugs me that the guy gets hurt all the time.
Well, he does get hurt a lot.
It bugs me that he came out, had a nice run, and limped off to the sideline. And, you know, Boston Scott, good for him. He's not the type of guy to limp off to the sideline and forfeit a play. He wants to be in there. He's dying to be in there.
No doubt.
I want Miles Sanders to be dying to be in there so he doesn't limp off to the sideline after one big play.
Look, that's a point. Here's my other point on Miles Sanders. I'm going to tell you the thing that bugged me the most about Miles yesterday. First play that he touched the ball. What did he do? He danced. Mm. He danced. Mm-hmm. He danced to the right, and it went nowhere. And I am convinced, John, that part of the reason that Sirianni did not run the ball as much in the first half as he did in the second half is because when he has Miles Sanders in there, he doesn't trust Miles Sanders to not dance. It all starts with this principle. He's playing the wrong player.
Well, he's doing it
for the wrong reasons.
Well, it starts with the principle that Jordan Howard is the best back for this offense,
but I believe
he was hurt.
I believe Boston
Scott. Boston
better.
Scott is the second best back for this offense, and you're being told that Miles Sanders should be the one who's playing.
It's just – it's so simple.
I think.
And Sirianni just – he just messed it up. It's got
but he's messing it up because he's being told to mess it up.
I think some of it he's being influenced, but, guys, I'm not moving off, John. He's the head coach. Do what you need to do in order to win the game. I will never relent on that. I understand there can be pressure from a front office. I do get that. But you got to have big ones. And you got to do what you know needs to be done to win the game. And Nick Sirianni yesterday, in big chunks, chose not to do the smart thing. And I can't excuse that.
Well, he explained it by saying, you know, you want to go to the play action to get the big chunks. Yeah. It's all about these chunk plays. That's what he keeps getting back to.
I know he does.
You know, that's like been the downfall of this team. Our defense, when they were playing their poorest, it was because they were trying to protect against the big chunk plays.
Right.
And now yesterday, when our offense was playing its worst, when we were trying to throw the ball instead of just run it, which was so effective, it's because he decided the play action was going to get us big chunks. I like the big chunks that just come because you run the football enough and you deplete a defense, you tire a defense, you wear out a defense. Eventually, you get big chunks that way.
Well, no question. And one more thing, and I'll take the king on Thursday when Howard joins us at noon, but one of my frustrations with Howard's constant backing of the Eagles coaching staff this year is this. Why does it have to take until it's beyond obvious for the head coach or the defensive coordinator to make the adjustment that we all knew should have been made weeks ago? Now, I shouldn't say all of this because not everyone wants Miles Sanders benched. Matter of fact, about three-quarters of people wanted him to be the feature back when he got back. I
wonder what's going to happen with this one. Sanders, you think he'll start for the Jets?
Yeah, I do think he'll start for the Jets.
But, I absolutely do.
But let's not lose sight of the fact that Sirianni did bench him in the second half. Yes, there was an injury that influenced the situation, but he was able to go back in that game, and Sirianni chose not to go to him. And I just get so aggravated that on so many different fronts this year, it takes an extra 3, 4, 5 games for them to do what was obvious to many of us should have already been done. That's the part about this season with regard to coaching that I can't excuse. I understand the Eagles might eventually have high-end success with Sirianni. They might. He could be here 3 years. He could be here 6 years. He could be here 10 years. They might win divisions with him. Who knows? We'll see. But my problem with this year is they have wasted an opportunity. They've probably wasted an opportunity to make the playoffs because they did stupid things for too long. Not play Howard, not play Scott, go back to Sanders, not blitz, not disguise the defense, put too much on Hurts, et cetera, et cetera. Play Rager. Like, those are 8 different reasons I just gave you, all of which, 7 of which, I won't give you the Sanders one because a lot of people were calling for Sanders to play more than Howard and Scott. Okay, that one, not as simple. But the other 7, very easy to see. Very easy to see. And the head coach keeps messing it up.
What do you think they believe the proper ratio of run to pass is? I'm asking that because I think the front office says, when they look at yesterday's game, hey, that's pretty close. You know, 51% run.
Right.
That gives us a pretty good read on this young quarterback. You know, hey, we didn't win the game, but, you know, we could have. It was close
enough. But it's how they got there. It's the fact that they didn't do it for the first quarter and a half of the game. They just didn't do it.
Well, that's why it's wrong.
Yeah.
If I'm a coach, my sole purpose is not to evaluate players, but to win games. And if it is to win games, you should be running the ball upward, you know, 70% of the time, 65 to 70%
of the time.
If
that's what it takes, that's what it
takes.
That's
how this team can win.
John, I agree.
So why venture away from that for any reason?
Look, there's a lot of notes I write during the game, and some of them are about individual plays, but then some of them are more sweeping sort of declaratives as I feel them that I'll put a star next to. That's my indication to me. This isn't about a play. This is about what I'm feeling about the game and the team. And one of them that I wrote in the second quarter yesterday, John, is it is so obvious the Eagles are at their best when running a Lamar Jackson Raven-style offense. Mm-hmm. So why didn't they do that in the first quarter and a half? Why? Why? Because the coach messed up. That's why I criticized the guy. Because he has messed up too frequently this year on very easy things to see. And it's probably going to cost him a playoff spot. Let's go to Anthony in Egg Harbor Township. What's up, Anthony? Anthony. Oh, he just hung up on himself. How about that? Mm. Anthony, call us back, man. We'll get you right on the air. To Andy in Deptford. Andy, good afternoon, man.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Andy.
Joe, man, some of the stuff that comes out your mouth, I find it so hard to believe. Like, who takes a bath, let alone two baths in one day? Like, I'm all about cleanliness, but I usually don't take two showers in one day.
I don't normally either. It's if I get into a groove with a good book, then I'm off and running. And yesterday, I mean, the second one was I had to try to wash away the loss. Not that it worked. I guess I got my mind off it for about an hour, but, you know, I still felt it.
He's taken three in a day recently.
Yeah, sure.
A different kind of guy, man. You cut from a different cloth, for sure. Yeah.
That's
but,
probably true.
As far as with Sirianni, I don't really think Lurie and Howie are dictating to Sirianni the way to run his team, because you think there's only 32 of these jobs in the world. If he's letting these guys control him, he's probably never going to get another shot at this, ever.
Well, there's that. Exactly right. You know, Andy, I also think, because I don't think it's as controlled by the front office as people allude to. Now, admittedly, I don't quite know. But here's the problem with Bench and Rager if you're Sirianni. It's like insulting your boss.
Yeah.
That's the problem. There's an implicit insult to your boss if you do that. And that might not be comfortable for Sirianni in his first few months as a head coach in pro football. But it's like, dude, that's the job.
Well, with Rager, I just think everybody's ripping Rager, rightfully so. But as an organization, there's certain positions, for whatever reason, the Eagles have no clue on how to draft on those positions.
Yeah.
Wide receiver is one of them. They're clueless. They have no clue what kind of receiver they want, whether you want a big body guy, whether you want a little scat fast receiver. They don't have any idea of what they're going after. So they just try and throw darts, and they miss on all of them. So wide receiver, they don't know how to draft. Secondary, they're almost just as bad as wide receiver drafting.
Yeah.
And then linebackers. Well, I mean, how many secondary did we whiff on, whether it's Jaquan Jarrett or the cornerback?
Yeah, Nate Allen was terrible. A whole bunch of the secondary
Sidney
guys.
Jones.
Rasul,
I mean,
Douglas. I know.
We whiff on our Arthega. We whiff on Rager. And now 3 years in a row, we got to draft wide receivers? Like, come on, man. What are we, Detroit Lions?
Andy, listen, it's funny you say that, because I appreciate the comment. I actually thought over the weekend about the possibility that they might use another first-round pick on a wide receiver. Now, I don't think they will, but it's not impossible. I mean, with three of them,
we need one. We absolutely need one, but I think we'll probably address it in free agency.
I think so, too.
Get an established guy. How many receiving cores are there out there that don't have any experience? Like, ours is as young and inexperienced as it's ever gotten. I can't think of any that are like this.
I agree. I mean, you can't really be any younger than they are.
No.
I mean, they got Smith, they got Rager, and they got Watkins.
What about his point there about the way other teams, the way, you know, other jobs would open up for a former coach of the Eagles? You know, like, how is Nick Sirianni perceived? Is he, you know, perceived as doing a good job, you know, a guy who would be hireable by other teams? I don't know. Like, right now, I think he would be perceived that way, but we saw, you know, we know that Doug Peterson either doesn't want to have a job right now or just can't get a job right now. We don't know exactly.
Well, this next offseason is going to be the big one on Doug.
Yeah.
This is the offseason that will tell you whether Doug is going to get another head coaching job or not.
Whether this setup is obvious to everyone else in the NFL and they realize that it's a detriment.
Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie, 215-592.
And then does that mean that these guys change? I don't think it does. I don't think it matters to them whether they are creating opposite of a coaching factory.
Yeah, they don't care.
We're not
about
a quarterback factory. We're certainly not a coach factory.
Yeah, they don't care. I mean, I don't think the Eagles brass cares at all. I mean, they probably care on a personal level for Doug whether he gets a job, but they don't care on how it reflects back on them. I mean, what do they care? They're not going to care about that. Hey, coming up, Seth Joyner on Jalen Rager. What he said post-game last night. It's pretty similar to what a lot of us have said, but it was so good, we got to play it next. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.